In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If we have learned anything from the events of last week, it is possibly this. There are two very different, and as the text in Galatians tells us, opposing visions of what this nation should be. I think this sentiment echoes what Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, laying out an argument, and the whole book, the whole letter, lays out this argument that there are two different ways of living in the world, two different ways. And there are variations of those two ways, but essentially two ways. One is the way, interestingly, of legalism. It is the way of exercising one's power in order to control and manipulate. And the other is the way of freedom, the freedom to love. I find much similarity between the circumstances in which Paul wrote the words we heard read today from Galatians and the circumstances in which we as a people find ourselves on this day. And this is nothing new, by the way. This has been going on for thousands of years. Remember, St. Paul wrote this little letter to the church in Galatia, which is a province of modern-day Turkey, pretty early on in his ministry. Paul had founded churches in that area, small house churches. And he had taught them a gospel of grace and the freedom that it brings to those who embrace it. But, wouldn't you know it, there's always someone who's going to come in and try to impose their will on others. A group of church leaders from Jerusalem, from the mother church, were coming behind Paul. And they told those new Christians that they were required to follow certain requirements. They had to observe the Jewish ceremonial law in order to be considered truly Christian. They had to line up with the agenda. Sound familiar? In chapter 5, Paul launches into a discussion of Christian freedom, which interestingly begins with the statement that all the law, all of it, every bit of it, everything in the Old Testament, and I would say everything in the New Testament, all of that can be summed up in a 5-word sentence. It ain't that difficult to understand. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the bottom line. And Paul describes this way of life, the life of loving your neighbor as yourself, as living in the Spirit. As we choose to live that way, Paul says, and we can, by the way, because we've been given the Holy Spirit. We celebrated this a few weeks ago. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of love has been given to us in our baptism. And the result of a life lived in the Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit. 9 of them, Paul lists here. And there could be some others. Maybe he just had kind of a bad day and he was tired of writing stuff out. Who knows? But we have 9 of them and they're all pretty good, I think. A good way to live one's life. And the fruit, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is the natural result of a life that is patterned after Jesus. See, it always goes back to the way that Jesus lived his life. It always goes back to the gospel. And just as a side, this is a free part of the sermon today. It seems like that some of our brothers and sisters have forgotten that the gospels exist in the Bible. Anyway, ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, that's sermon number 3. But in the passage before us today, Paul gives us these two lists, which describe the two different ways that we can choose to live in the world. Nations can choose it. Churches can choose these ways, and individuals can too. One is to use your free will to abuse others. And if you look at that list, that's what that list is all about. It is using others, twisting God-given gifts into a tool to gratify your own desires, always at the expense of others. Always at the expense of others. It is the way that disregards the rights and the dignity, the inherent dignity of every human being. It is the way of the user. And quite frankly, and I'll say it plainly, it is the way of claiming your right to exercise your freedom so that you can ignore or deny those same rights to others. That's abuse. And that's what's being played out in our country. And it's been going on for a while. This ain't nothing new. And Paul is clear about this. Those who choose to live this way have traded the kingdom of God for the kingdom of this world. They have traded the kingdom of truth for the kingdom of a lie. Paul tells us that there is a better way. There is a better way to live. There is a better way to exist in this world. There is a better vision. And it's called life in the Spirit. And I see this as a way of life that is patterned after the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul lists those nine qualities here. The first three, love, joy, and peace, are inward. They have to do with the habits of the mind. The second three relate to how we treat and interact with others. And those final three are how we respond to what's going on around us, to the circumstances of life. And if you feel like I do today, I think I need all nine of those qualities operating at full speed. And if there's a 25 to the speed dialer, let's push it up on 25. And this way of life is what the church, this is what we, the church, the baptized people, must offer to the world. And on this day when many of us are troubled and angry and frustrated by what we see unfolding here in our own country, what Paul tells us here is both a comfort and a challenge. In a day when it seems like the Supreme Court is tipping the scales of justice in favor of injustice, on a day like this, we need to remember the courage of those who prayed and sang and marched in peace for justice. And we have to remember the joy and the self-control of those who were persecuted in Paul's day for their faith. And for those in recent times who have stood as a witness to oppression and domination. And this is true freedom, Paul tells us. Not the false freedom of self-serving that seems to have spread throughout this nation like a plague. Now, there's good news and there's some not so good news. It really is good news, but it's going to come across as not so good news. Because, folks, living the way of the Spirit always comes at a cost. Always. It cost commitment and it cost perseverance. Jesus was clear in this gospel reading you heard today that those who follow him need to think twice about what they've signed up for. And you know this, there is nothing worthwhile in this life that comes without commitment and determination. This parish will not be what it could be and can be without commitment and determination. And we can't be the people of God that we are called to be without embracing it fully. Now we're going to mess up. We're going to fail at it. That's the journey of the Christian life. But to get back up and recommit and keep moving. And so what I want to do today is call you to make two commitments today. And the first is to make a commitment or recommit yourself to live and tell the truth. Now, we're called to tell it with love and grace, but we need to tell the truth. Yesterday, my son, who lives in Texas, called in a state of agitation. He had spent a few days with his part of the family down there in Texas. And he was very upset about the decisions of the court and what he sees unfolding in the state of Texas right now. At one point in the conversation, he said, "Dad, this is very personal to me. And I need to take on the responsibility of speaking the truth to my family, no matter what the consequences are. And there will be consequences for him if he does it." Marianne Williamson wrote, "Hate has talked so loudly for so long. Greed has talked so loudly for so long. Liars have talked so loudly for so long. Love has got to stop whispering." And we, who stand at this font many times a year and talk about how we respect the dignity of every human being, we must become evangelists, emboldened evangelists of truth, telling the truth to ourselves and to our neighbors and to our friends, to our family and to our nation, to church leaders who play around with this stuff. There is no freedom without the truth. You cannot have freedom and truth. It does not coexist. Jesus told us this. See, it goes back to Jesus. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We will not be a free nation until we learn how to speak the truth and stop tolerating lying. Secondly, it gets worse. We need a big pool here, not a little font. We need a pool and we need to jump in it and to move deeper into the waters of our baptismal covenant. Because it tells us and helps us to live out what Jesus called us to do. So I want to ask you to recommit yourself. Put yourself in a position where you can nurture the fruit of the Spirit. Because this stuff, folks, love and joy and peace does not come naturally to me. I'm a type A personality. And if I come in and the chairs are out of whack, I kind of freak out. And sometimes when you don't come to church, I freak out too. It just does not come naturally. And I don't think it comes easily to most. To live that way, I just want to ask you, look at that list. How are you doing there? How are you doing with peace and love and joy and peace? And I don't want to talk about patience today. These things are gifts to us, but they have to be nurtured and cared for. We have to take care of the gifts that God has given us. Now, and David is not happy with me about this, but I wanted to plant vegetables in the garden this year. Now, we knew we were going to sell the house, but I insisted we're going to plant stuff because I like to see stuff grow. So we planted several tomatoes in my garden. And finally, after this 12 and a half month winter we've had, you know, we had a few days where the sun came out, and there are little blooms that appeared about 2 months ago, just sort of stayed there. And yesterday, I was able to see the fruit being formed. You know, tomatoes are a fruit. They're not a vegetable. See, you learned something new today. Some of you did. They're a fruit. And it's amazing. I took this little tiny seed. I mean, if you dropped it on the floor, you couldn't find it. But that seed is packed with life that is just waiting to be released. You put it in the ground, you care for it, you nurture it, it sprouts, and it grows. And hopefully, before we move out of that house, I'm going to go out there and pick cherry tomatoes, and I'm going to eat every one of them by myself. You know who? Hello? You know who is not getting any? But then I have to go back to the fruit of the Spirit that says, no. You can't think like that. You got to share. And I think that is an analogy that works here with what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit, the seed, the presence and power of God's very self is given, is implanted in us at our baptism. We have got this stuff in us. And with nurturing and care, our lives will begin to take on and exhibit the qualities that we see in the way that Jesus lived his life. And what I've discovered is that the deeper in you go to this, the deeper you move into the life of the Spirit of Jesus, the freer you become. This stuff will free you up and everybody else if you'll talk about it. And the freer you become, the more able you are to give yourself away in love. It's paradox, I know. But the more you give yourself away, the more you receive. That's how it works. That's how things work in the life of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. And the good news is that every last one of us can live that way. We can live that way as citizens of this country. We can live that way as Christians. All of us, no exceptions, no one is left out of this. No matter what your personality type is, if you're an ENTFJ or you're a type B or a type A, it doesn't matter. All of us can live this way because God's love has been sown in us by the Holy Spirit. So give the love of God the space to really take root and to grow deep this day. Because brothers and sisters, you know this, but we need reminding it. Love will always win. It always does, because love is of God. But what some of us, maybe all of us, need to do, and especially our country, we need to do some weeding and some watering. And what we'll see, if we watch it, the landscape will begin to change around us. And in the process, we will be changed too. Thanks be to God. Amen.